I might be the last to say Merry Christmas and maybe the first to say Happy New Year. Happy New Year. After all we've been through in the past year, can we really have a Happy New Year? That's the focus of my talk today. First, on behalf of the church, I want to thank Pastor Van, Pastor Cheryl, Pastor Stephen, and BJ for their dedication and leadership over the past year, a very challenging year, and especially since the, dare I say it, the pandemic came to our neighborhoods in March. It's been a very challenging time and even more challenging and demanding on our leaders. And thanks to our office staff and our elders and my fellow deacons helping us all navigate that strange year of 2020. Let's begin in prayer. Lord, thank you for the evidence we see of your hand upon our lives in the midst of such challenging times. Thank you for your promise to be with us in every season of our lives. Thank you for the role you have prepared for Christ Church in the new year to bring hope to a world desperate for good news. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For the past 25 years, I have served as a mentor for several men in prison. Kenny is the fourth inmate that I have spent time with, and we've been working together for the last 6 years. Since March, we've not been able to meet face-to-face, but when the prison phone is available, he's able to call and we have a conversation on the phone. After his father was killed in an accident when he was a teenager, he went off the tracks. But Kenny has been on fire for the Lord since 2011 when he gave his life to Christ. Each Thanksgiving and Christmas, family members and friends are able to order off a special list of items that are somewhat of a treat for those who are behind bars. Kenny sent me a list of things that he would enjoy, and I called in to make the order. Now, you're limited to a certain dollar figure, so the phone operator helps you get as close to the total as possible. I began to go order the items that Kenny had asked for: 5 packages of Bridge Mix chocolate-covered nuts, 5 bags of carrot cake. I love carrot cake, but I'm not so sure I would love it in a bag. It doesn't sound that appealing. Potato skins, 2 bags of double-dipped peanuts, chicken stew. You get the idea. As we closed on the amount allowed, the woman on the phone stopped me and said, "Oh no, you're 45 cents over the total." Then she said, "Now you could substitute chunk light tuna with jalapenos for the ready shredded beef biscuit with broth and smoke flavor, and you would be just under the total." Now I was just about to say fine when she said, "Or you can cut the shredded beef biscuit and add 2 packages of corn chips and 2 brownies, and you would just be under the total." She continued to lay out one option after another, then continued for another several minutes. By this time, I was just laughing. And when she stopped, I simply said, "You are amazing. You are so kind." That's the word that came to mind, her kindness. I said, "You have such amazing patience to help me through all these options." My conversation between biscuits and cake lasted about 15 minutes. And here was her response: "I just want to make sure the men get the most their family and friends want to provide." As I hung up, I thanked her for her patience with me and taking all that time, and I ended by saying, "God bless you." And she said, "He already has." I hung up, thanking God for my chance to talk with her to make the order. I had sensed that she was a Christian by her attitude, by her kindness and her joy as she was sharing all that with me on the phone. And that was confirmed when I hung up. I was thinking, hour after hour, day after day, this woman takes orders on the phone, and she does it with joy. Why? Because of who she was representing and who she was serving. Her joy gave me joy. She was serving the Lord gladly by helping people sort out the chocolate nuts and the stew for someone in prison. Imagine God's delight in seeing this woman represent him in that way. Question: does your joy give others joy? My conversation with this wonderful woman gave me joy and made me think about that word, and the first word that came to mind when I was talking with her was kindness. How do we be kind and find kindness in the midst of a country and a world full of turmoil, a pandemic, a contested election, devastating fires in California and Colorado, hurricanes in the Caribbean and all across the south coast of this country, the tragedies of George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, and so many others, weddings limited to a handful of people, businesses closing, thousands of people losing their jobs, long lines at food pantries, distance learning, the sadness of not being able to see your loved one in the hospital. I experienced this after the loss of my mom in September. We could not have a funeral in the church that she had belonged to for 50 years. Instead, a group of about 15 family and friends in a graveside service. How can we look forward with any optimism to a new year with so many people feeling helpless and hopeless? We'll all be watching the ball drop in Times Square from our homes. So here's my question for you this morning. What difference can kindness make in a world filled with chaos and confusion? Let's start with another question. As we think about the new year, is a vaccine going to solve all of our problems? Is going back to a normal way of life all we really want? As Christians, we really want more than that. We want the world to change. That means peace on earth. That means loving your neighbor. That means no more hunger. That means no more countries hiding outbreak of flu from the rest of the world. As Christians, we know that is a description only of heaven, and we'll never experience all that until we get to heaven. But Jesus didn't say, all right, just go into hiding and wait until I come back. But how do we change the world in a pandemic? What difference can I make in a sea of suffering and discontent? And here's my answer. We start with our own families, our own neighborhoods, our own country, our own world. Yes, we have to do it with a mask, and we'll have to do it the old-fashioned way, one person at a time. I was at the checkout line at a local market, and I could see the cashier was really getting irritated with the woman in front of me who was checking out. She was loading the groceries into her basket. And I couldn't hear what was being said, but it was obviously causing some problems for the cashier. She was huffing and puffing, and she was, like, throwing things into the bag for the woman. Finally, the customer wheeled her cart off into the parking lot, and so there I am, standing there. I'm next. I have to go and face this irritated cashier. It was just after 9 o'clock in the morning, so I knew it was not only going to be a long day for the cashier, but a very long day for all the customers that were going to follow me in the line. So what did I say? What could I say? I shot off a quick prayer and asked the Lord to give me the right words. And then I said, it looks like it's already been a pretty challenging morning. That opened the door. She said, you can't believe it. And she began rattling off more complaints that I couldn't hear because she was speaking from under her mask. And that was one time I was happy that we were all wearing masks. Her mask helped guard my ears. What did I say? I said, thank you for your patience with people. It must be a real challenge. Immediately, she calmed down, and we had a very pleasant exchange. As I loaded the groceries in the cart and began to walk off, I said, thank you for your help. God bless you. I think I actually saw a smile underneath her mask. And I left the building when she had calmed down, and I'm sure that I helped all the customers that would follow me over the next 6 hours. What did it take for me to change the direction of her day? It took a few simple words of kindness. As I got into the car and thought about this episode, I was thinking, how important is kindness to the Lord? In Matthew 9, when Jesus was eating with sinners at Matthew's house, there was a collection of people who were out of tune with God. Matthew, the tax collector, didn't have any real friends because of his profession. Tax collectors were despised. The Pharisees asked, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now, most versions of the Bible quote Jesus as saying, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, the NCV, the New Century Version of the Bible, which is a version of the International Children's Bible, struck me. It says it this way. Jesus says, I want kindness more than I want animal sacrifices. In Psalm 63 from the New King James Version, David says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Or you might have had 1 Corinthians 13 read at your wedding, love is patient, love is kind. Or did we forget about that one? Remember what Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And in chapter 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Our words matter to God. The right words at the right time bring great blessing. The wrong words at the wrong time open the door to conflict, to anger, and can even lead to despair. How do we choose our words? God is saying, pay attention to how you choose your words. So why is kindness so valuable? Because kindness is an attitude of the heart. It's genuine heart-to-heart communication. From God's heart to your heart to another heart. What is our heart saying to another heart? The person you are talking to might have a heart full of fear or sadness or despair. What we say can break a heart. How important is the heart to God? Well, the prophet Samuel was told to go find a king at Jesse's house in his family, and Samuel passed over seven of Jesse's sons before he got to the 15-year-old son tending the sheep by the name of David, who would become the future king. Samuel said this, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Our words and our deeds demonstrate what we carry in our hearts. So what am I carrying in my heart? God knows, but do I? Have I taken the time to examine my heart? If I'm always defensive and sensitive to any criticism, what's going on in my heart? Do I let disappointment rule my reaction, or do I call on the fruits of the Spirit to help me navigate the rough waters? So, what does God expect from me? How can I make a real difference in a world of chaos that I'm living in? If nothing else, I can offer a few words of kindness. And that's my point this morning. Every word, every kind action, every kind thought pushes back the darkness. When our words reflect God's words, our world changes. It struck me that right now, words are more important than they've ever been because we're wearing masks. People cannot see you say the words. They can't see the expression on your face. They can't read faces. They only hear the tone in which we say something to someone through a mask. Words are taken at face value. How are we representing God with our words? I love the book of James. He reminds us the importance of words in chapter 3. The title is Taming the Tongue. He points out that a small spark can set off a forest fire. A word from us can lift a heart. A word from us can wound a heart. Showing kindness to others helps us avoid forest fires. So here's the key point. Because kindness comes from God, we cannot keep it to ourselves. We are intended to use it. And here's what I mean. I was a sportscaster at Channel 6 for 35 years. That meant for 35 years, I drove from East Greenwich into downtown Providence to the studios across from the Marriott Hotel. That took me downtown. Every day, I passed people standing at the intersections holding a sign saying, help me. I need food. I need help. It was overwhelming. My heart ached for them, but how could I make a difference when there were so many? There was one on every corner. And we've all heard the things said about them. They're just collecting a lot of money doing that. They just won't get a job. They have mental health issues. But finally, my heart couldn't take it anymore. I could not help everyone, but I could help the person that I drove up next to and had to be standing next to when I got to the intersection. So I bought some Dunkin' Donut cards that when I was stopped to someone next to me, I was rolling down the window, I handed them a card and I said, God cares about you. And here was the point. I was telling him that he was not ignored by God, he was seen by God, and he was seen by God's people. God bless your day, and I drove off. I'm not saying you should hop in your car and go to the nearest Dunkin' Donuts and start handing out cards at intersections. What I am saying is look around. Be aware. Let's use God's vision to see the world the way He does. There are hurting people everywhere. In the market line as you're going to the cashier, in the drugstore, at the donut shop. How can we use loving kindness to help change the world, to help change somebody else God has created, God has made? What simple words can you use to tell someone that God sees them, God cares about them? They are not invisible to God, and they're not invisible to you. This is one reason I've been a part of the Christ Church Care Center. People matter to God, and my passion through my life has been for the church to show how much God loves them. When people come to us in need, they are normally in crisis for food, for rent, for paying a bill. We invite them to come in, sit with a volunteer, we share their story, we pray with them, we talk with them, and then we try to offer some kind of a help. And now we're offering more of a long-term plan. We're getting a coach to walk with them so we can help support them over the course of time to get over this hurdle and get on with our lives. Our overall message from the Christ Church family is you matter to God. He has a plan for your life. He loves you. Showing loving kindness is who we are at Christ Church. It's who we are in Christ. It is who we were meant to be as Christians. God designed us to love and be loved. When asked the greatest commandment, Jesus said, love God with everything you have and love others. That's a love that will change you. That's a love that will help change your world. Is it easy? No way. If it was, everybody would be doing it, right? Loving can be hard. You've got to stick with it. As we know, love requires sacrifice. Do you feel like your job is menial? Do you feel isolated and disconnected in these days? Do you feel like you have no purpose? Do you feel like you have no influence on anything or anyone in this world? Don't believe it. Every conversation, every kind act, every time we serve someone else, every time we encourage someone, every time we sacrifice ourselves for someone else, we are doing kingdom work. A stay-at-home mom, kingdom work. Working at Subway, Kohl's, Walmart, Hilltop Creamery, Stop and Shop, Walgreens, kingdom work. Working in Wall Street, kingdom work. Here's the point. When you know that God has a plan for your life, you excel in whatever you do because you are representing the King. Also, when you go to a store or you visit a friend or you make a business deal or you call the person taking an order for a holiday gift for someone in prison, you are representing the King. So where do we start as we get ready for this new year of uncertainty? How do we change the direction of our world? Let's start with this. Love God and love others. Let's start with the words that we actually say to each other. Let's start with how we can serve each other. Let's start with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and how about some self-control mixed in? Now, in the fruits of the Spirit, did you notice that kindness is in the middle, right in the middle of all of that? kindness holds up the heavyweights of love, joy, peace, and patience. And it provides a firm grip for what follows in goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Kindness is the anchor. Last week I drove to Connecticut, got off of I-95, and as I got to the stoplight, took a left on the snowbank right in front of me, it said, kindness. God is constantly reminding us to be kind, to use kindness. Controlling our words leads to controlling our minds, which leads to controlling our actions, which is pleasing to God. As we enter the new year, let's live out Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in doing good. God made us to be kind. Kindness knocks down walls, changes attitudes, brings out the best in others. Why? Because kindness towards others reflects back on the one who is kind to us in the first place. The one who continues to show us kindness despite our faults, despite our failures, despite our blind spots. So what will kindness look like as we enter a new year? Kindness never gets old. Kindness never fails. Kindness will have as much power in the new year as it did in the old year, and maybe more, because kindness is needed in a world crying out for hope. Kindness is still opening the door for someone. Kindness is still saying good morning to a stranger. Kindness is a student going up to someone who just moved to the school or to your neighborhood and helping them feel connected. Kindness is the neighbor who knocked on my door when I first moved in and gave me a jar of jelly and saying, welcome to the neighborhood. Kindness is another neighbor who last week called me and said, I just made some soup. I'd love to give you some. I'll be over in a minute to give it to you. Kindness is using the resources God has placed in my care for His glory and to advance His kingdom. Kindness is offering water, living water, to the woman at the well. Kindness is having dinner with Matthew and his tax collector friends. Kindness is raising Lazarus from the dead. Kindness is taking on our sins and suffering death on a cross so that we might be forgiven. Kindness is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Fathers, we enter a new year with its unrest and uncertainty. We will rest in your grace and your mercy. We are still certain of your promise to never leave us nor forsake us. We are certain of your loving kindness. We ask you, Lord, to use us as instruments of your peace and hope and kindness in a world desperate for good news. Shower us with your loving kindness in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.